For now, let's open our Bibles to, we're going to go right back to where we were the last couple weeks. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm once again going to read verses 4 through 7. We're in the study on spiritual gifts. So, 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse number 4 through number 7. I will have those words up here on the screen. These are from the NASB, the New American Standard Bible Translation. If you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. These are the words of the Apostle Paul as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. Verse number 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And we'll end right there. Let's go to God in a time of prayer. Lord, once again, we're going to talk more about spiritual gifts, these gifts that have been bestowed upon us by the Holy Spirit to every believer. Let us learn a little bit more here today about spiritual gifts. As always, you get the glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, this is week number 5 in this series that I've titled Understanding the Spiritual Gifts. And today's message I have titled A Varieties of Effects. The exact words that the Apostle Paul uses in verse number 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Every believer has been given these things that we call spiritual gifts. They have been given by the Holy Spirit as He has determined to each and every one of us. And there are a variety of gifts. And every believer has been given a ministry where the believer must use that gift or those gifts that they have been given. So therefore, there are a variety of ministries. And these ministries will develop different effects within the body of Christ. And that will edify the church and ultimately glorify God. So there are a variety of effects because of these gifts. So I kind of made a little chart here. We have been given a variety of gifts, which produces a variety of ministries, which produces a variety of effects within the body of Christ. And the main one is this: to edify and to build up the body of Christ. We build up each other with the gifts that we have been given. I said that I was going to put this one up here every week, and I'm going to hold to it. Spiritual gifts, they are not earned. They are not learned. They cannot be bought, and they cannot be taught. Why? Because they are gifts as the Holy Spirit has determined to give us. And as we go into future weeks, we will learn how important this really is. So, the spiritual gifts. What are the gifts? I had this list up here, and I'm going to put it back up here again. We find them in the listing of the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, and then verse 28, and then in Romans 12, 6 through 8. The gifts are listed as such, and this is in the order in which I find them in those scripture texts. And again, these are the words that the NASB uses: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing, effecting of miracles, prophecy, foretelling, prophecy, forthtelling, distinguishing of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, apostles, mercy, teaching, helps, serving, administration, exhortation, and giving. And over the past 2 weeks, we've been covering some of these gifts to kind of figure out maybe one of us in here or maybe a bunch of us in here have these gifts. And I'm going to put check marks besides the ones that we have covered so far. We've covered faith, we've covered mercy, helps, serving, administration, exhortation, and giving. And we have said this, that the distribution of the gifts is like a funnel. At the top of the funnel, where it is wide, many believers have these gifts. But then as we go down through the different gifts, we're going to find out that less and less believers have less of the what I call the theological type gifts. Some gifts that are listed here are in a category that we call the miraculous gifts, or the sign, S-I-G-N, the sign gifts. And we're going to study these at length over the next couple weeks. But today we're going to cover four gifts that slant more towards the theological side in the believers. And less believers will probably have these gifts. And you may see that not only will these four gifts that we cover today overlap, but we've probably already seen that a lot of these gifts in themselves do overlap to some degree. So let's cover four more gifts today. They are listed in your bulletin, and there's no fill in the blank, so you can write in there whatever you feel like you need to write. Let's start with the first one. Where are we going to put our next check mark? At the very first one, word of wisdom. The very first one that the Apostle Paul talks about. What is word of wisdom? And again, I get a lot of this material that I'm about to read to you from a website called gotquestions.org. So I want to give them credit for much of what I say about these gifts here today. The fact that this gift is described as the word of wisdom indicates that this is one of the speaking gifts. This gift describes someone who can understand and speak forth biblical truth in such a way as to skillfully apply it to life situations with all discernment. It is the ability to understand God's word and his will and skillfully apply that understanding to life situations. It is similar to encouragement or exhortation in that it applies God's word. And it is similar to mercy in that it reaches out to those in need. But the major difference that sets this gift apart from those others is that it is godly words, godly counsel, godly advice given through someone who has walked that path, given through experience. One thing that we must be certain of this gift of word of wisdom, because I want to make sure we get this right, is word of wisdom is not new revelation from God. We call this the Bible. It's also called the canon. But we have said this, the canon is closed. God has spoken. There is no new revelation. So how does the gift of word of wisdom edify the body? Well, there are always going to be those who have gone through situations that can shed great wisdom with those who are dealing with similar circumstances. To be good or even bad circumstances, be they spiritual circumstances or even carnal circumstances. So when one has this gift, it edifies those who may not. It's the voice of experience giving godly wisdom to others who need that. So I ask, do you feel comfortable and is it easy for you to speak godly wisdom into the lives of those who need to hear it? And if so, perhaps you have the gift of word of wisdom. Let's go to our next one. We're going to cover four today, one down, three more to go. The very next one, word of knowledge. And this one is a little difficult because it is so similar to many of the other gifts up there, including word of wisdom. This is another speaking gift that involves understanding truth with insight that only comes by revelation from and illumination from the Spirit of God. With this, those with this gift, what did I do? This will be edited out of the final version. Sorry, folks. Come on. I get carried away, I guess. Come on. Those with the gift of word of knowledge understand the deep things of God and the mysteries of His word. John MacArthur says this in his study Bible, and I quote, "Word of knowledge majors on grasping the meaning of the truth, whereas word of wisdom, the one above it there, emphasizes the practical conviction and conduct that applies that word," end quote. One thing that we can be certain of with this gift, it's the same as the word of wisdom. It is not new revelation from God. The canon is closed. The Bible has been written. God has spoken. There is no new revelation. So how does this gift of the word of knowledge edify the body? Since this gift is useful in understanding the true interpretation and deep truths of God's word, the body of Christ is built up in the truth of God's word. And we know this, I use that word truth so often. The truth will do what? It will set you free. The truth will set you free. Amen. When one has this gift, it edifies those who may not have this gift. So I ask, do you feel comfortable and feel that you understand not just the superficial, but the deep truths of God's word? If so, perhaps you have the gift of word of knowledge. Let's move on to our third one. Moving right along. We're going to go to the bottom over here on the left-hand side. Distinguishing of spirits. Some Bibles use the word discernment. I like that word, discernment. But the NASB uses distinguishing of spirits. But I will probably use the word discernment. I often say that if there is one area where the church needs improvement and church people, including myself, need improvement, it's in the area of discernment. Discernment is nothing more than the ability to decide between truth and error, between right and wrong. Or, as what Charles Spurgeon says, discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It is knowing the difference between right and almost right. I don't think I could have said that any better. Discernment is the process of making careful distinctions in our thinking about truth. In other words, the ability to think with discernment is synonymous with an ability to think biblically. And remember, as Christians, we must have a biblical world view. We do, as 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ. We think biblically, we have a biblical worldview, and discernment will be a part of that. In today's era of television and internet, you will find many, many, too many different interpretations of God's word. Many truths are out there, and that's good. But there are many deceiving spirits. So we need to be extremely careful and be discerning who we watch, who we listen to, and who we trust when it comes to giving us the Word of God. And folks, that includes me. Jesus says this in Matthew 24. This is part of the Olivet Discourse. The next day, Jesus will be crucified. And chapter 24, verses 4 and 5. "And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many." Jesus says this, that many, over the period of centuries, and especially today, many are going to be deceived. And I believe this many that he's talking about here is the same many that he's referring to in Matthew chapter 7 when he says, many find the road to destruction. few find the narrow road to eternal life. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do miracles in your name? And Jesus will say to them, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. The many, Jesus talks about the many. Many will be deceived. We must be discerning. But you might say, but it's a gift, Mike. I don't think I have that gift. Well, that's okay. That's okay if you don't have this gift. But we must, as believers, place our trust in those who do have this gift. And that decision in itself requires some discernment. I know that I feel like I have that gift a little bit, but there are still trusted people that I go to for sound doctrine when I need to, because there are some things that I just can't discern for myself, and I don't mind admitting that. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. He's warning the people at Thessalonica. He says this, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good and abstain from every form of evil. He wants the people, hey, people, examine everything carefully. Don't believe every Tom, Dick, or Harry who comes through here and starts preaching to you. John says the same thing in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false prophets have gone out. Test the spirits. John says the same thing Paul says is the same thing Jesus says. Hey, test these people. Make sure that you are getting the correct information. After all, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Satan disguises himself as what? An angel of light. An angel of light. One thing, this was not part of my message, but I wanted to kind of show this. It's a little show and tell. I have an envelope here that came in the church mail. You talk about discernment. Let's talk about discernment. This is from Domain Listings from Las Vegas, Nevada. Now you might say, what's Domain Listings? Our church website is part of and in what they call a domain. We have to pay for that. Our domain is www.bgcc.church. We have to pay an annual fee for that. This letter comes in the mail, and this comes about every 3 to 4 months here to this church. And usually I just throw it away. But today was a perfect example of when I can use this to show you something. If I opened this up, it would tell me you have to pay this bill of approximately $280. But if you look real closely, it will say, this is not a bill, in very, very tiny letters. I guarantee you, many, many, many are deceived. And they see this, and it comes in the mail. It looks like a real bill. So what does the church secretary do? Pays it. Well, I guess we need to pay this. It came in. No, we don't pay this. We have to have the gift of discernment to know when these things come in the mail, what are bills and what are not bills? So it's more than just theological truths. It can even be something as simple as a bill like this. So this will be tossed away, thrown away. But I promise you, about another 3-4 months, we'll get another one requesting some more money. And we're not going to pay that one either, because we pay our domain through someone else. So getting back to discernment. How does the gift of discernment edify the body? Well, I'm going to use a scripture verse to help explain that. Ephesians 4, 14. Paul writes this. As a result, we are no longer to be children. In other words, we need to grow up spiritually. Tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, because when we're immature Christians, we can very easily be tossed here and there and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And by what? The trickery of men and by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. There are people out there who are going to try to tell each and every one of us anything and everything to get us to, that will be false information theologically about the Word of God. And we need to have discernment. And even if we need to say, let me think about that one for a second, until you can go back and ask somebody that has discernment, we need to do that. But Paul is saying here, hey, don't be carried away by everything. And especially in Paul's case, he's saying, listen to what I taught you. And there couldn't have been a better teacher than the Apostle Paul. Did you know that there are more warnings in the New Testament about false teachers, false prophets, and deceivers, more warnings about them than any other warnings in the New Testament? We must be built up by the truth of God's word, and when one has this gift, it edifies those who may not. And again, I'll say it again, it's okay to say, I don't have this gift. Find someone that does and seek their wisdom. So I ask, how about you? Do you feel that you can consistently discern between the truth and error, between right and almost right, as Charles Spurgeon would say? If so, perhaps you have the gift of discernment, the gift, as we call, the distinguishing of spirits. And our fourth and final gift that we're going to talk about today, teaching. Teaching. This word comes from the Greek word didaskalos, which means to instruct. This gift is similar to prophecy in the fact that what is being taught or prophesied is the word of God. But it differs from prophecy in the fact that a prophet speaks forth the word of God, which would be the actual scripture text, whereas a teacher would explain the meaning and the context and the application of that verse to the believers. A spiritually gifted teacher is one who has the unique ability to clearly instruct and communicate knowledge, biblical knowledge, specifically the biblical doctrines of the faith. I got to put this verse up here. James 3:1. Let not many of you become teachers, he says, my brother, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. Before people, believers, start jumping up on the podium and saying, I can teach, I can teach, I can teach, you will incur a stricter judgment. We are responsible for what we say. I am responsible for what I say up here each and every Sunday. I am convinced that there are too many, way too many people out there in church teaching positions or even in private settings, private Bible studies, that do not have this gift of teaching. Story time with Pastor Mike. Story goes like this. I was attending a United Methodist Church in the early 90s over in the Verona area. And somebody came up to me one day and said this, Mike, we need a teacher for the senior high students, 10th, 11th, and 12th graders. Could you be a teacher? I said, of course I can. Folks, I was not saved. I didn't know Jesus Christ from the man on the moon. I had no idea what was in this book. I've never studied it, never opened it. But yet I was asked by the church to be a Sunday school teacher. I have no idea what I taught because I didn't know this. But there are examples in churches, and that was just one of them, where churches will just take a person who is a warm, willing body and put that person in a teaching position when they have absolutely no business being in that teaching position, just like I was. But I had no discernment at that time. I wasn't saved. And just like Jesus tells us to beware of false prophets, we must also be aware of false teachers. In 1 and 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes to his protege Timothy, instructing him over and over and over again about teaching. Timothy, you got to teach sound doctrine within the church. Why? Because there will always be those who do not teach sound doctrine, and there will always be those who do not want to hear sound doctrine. Now, I'm going to put this verse up here on the board, probably the most controversial verse in the church today. 1 Timothy 2:12 through 14. But I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. For it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. For some reason, over the last 100 years, people don't like this verse anymore, and anybody and everybody is in the pulpit. When it is a very clear passage, women do not teach or preach or have authority over men. Now, with that said, there are many, many women who are gifted teachers. Just do not teach or lead men. It's really that simple. If you have the gift, ladies, of teaching, there are plenty of opportunities to lead a ladies' Bible study. Folks, it's not a matter, because a lot of people say this to me, it's not a matter of ability. Yes, ladies, you do have the ability. It's a matter of obedience. The Word of God says, don't do it. But unfortunately, over the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, the radical feminist movement has said that a woman can do everything that a man can do. That's true in a lot of respects, but it's not true here. The Word of God specifically says, stay out of the pulpit, stay out of teaching positions when there are men in the crowd. So, how does this gift of teaching edify the body? Well, not everyone is gifted to read and understand what this book is saying. The church is edified as people listen to the Word of God and hear what it means and how to apply it in their own lives. And that's why a lot of people have study Bibles like this one. And when one has this gift, it edifies those who may not. If you look at the front of your bulletin, at the very front, down here at the bottom, it says, the truth matters, and this is here every Sunday, and underneath the words, the truth matters, it says, a teaching ministry. So often people say, what did you preach about on Sunday? I really don't think of myself as a preacher as I do a teacher, because I feel like this is pretty much more of what I do on a Sunday morning in front of this congregation. I feel like I teach more than what I preach, but that's just a personal thought. So I ask, do you feel like you can explain the meaning and the context and the application of God's word and communicate that to other believers without error and within biblical commands, such as this one right here? If so, perhaps you have the gift of teaching. Now, who remembers the TV show Lost in Space from the 1960s? Yes, Will Robinson. And what did the robot always tell Will Robinson? Danger, warning, warning, warning. Those who do not have this gift of teaching, but decide to teach anyways, risk leading their students down a path of error or possibly even a path of destruction. What was I doing back in the early 90s teaching those senior highs? I don't know. I don't remember. And maybe that's a good thing. Well, that's all we're going to cover today. Those four. Danger, Will Robinson. Let's go over. And these are the gifts that we have covered so far. Help, serving, giving, exhortation, mercy, administration, faith, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, distinguishing of spirits, and teaching. We've added four more to that list. There is a very good chance that everyone in here has at least one of these spiritual gifts, because these are the gifts that are top at the top of the funnel and are starting to work their way down. And my question to all of us in here is, which gift or gifts do you feel like you may have? But I believe everybody in here has at least one of these gifts up here. Well, that's it for these gifts. Next week, we're going to start building a foundation on what we call the sign, S-I-G-N, the sign gifts. Very important. Let's go to God in a time of prayer.